Hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode 112. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. I'm very excited to bring you today's conversation with Stephanie O'Day. Stephanie is a New York Times bestselling author and the host of the Slow Living podcast, and she helps busy people live the life of their dreams in a slow, steady, and sustainable way. And in today's conversation, I love several things that she shares, including this SLOW acronym that she uses, Simply Look Only Within. And we talk about the unrealistic expectations and the mom guilt that we suffer from so much as moms, and how we can start letting go of this either or thinking and embrace a place that she calls and land, which I love, that we can have a messy house and be a great mom, that we can not volunteer in our kids' school and be a great mom. And this is just a wonderful conversation that I know that you will love. And make sure to check out the show notes today. There are several resources there that I'm sharing, including the website ayearofslowcooking.com, which is how Stephanie became a New York Times bestselling author by cooking a slow cooker recipe every day for a year, which is so cool. So what do you say? Grab that notebook and pen and let's dive into today's conversation with Stephanie O'Day. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hi, Stephanie. Thank you so much for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am super thrilled to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah. So you and I have connected through the wonderful world of podcasting that I find myself in, but being a previous writer, well, current writer, but just not as much now, is interesting kind of moving to this audio format.
Yeah.
But I'm
I can tell already from listening to your past podcasts and reading your writing, you speak the way you write, and it makes a lot of sense, and it's very organic. So I think you are covering the medium quite well.
Well, thank you very much. And I actually heard you on a different podcast, and you're talking about slow cooking for a year. And I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is amazing. So I would love it. You don't have to talk about slow cooking, but if you could introduce yourself, talk a little bit about you and your family and just how you serve women and moms.
Absolutely. I think, though, we need to put the word amazing in air quotes, because we're all just getting by by the seat of our pants and a little bit of duct tape and spit. And and that actually is real life. So so what happened is my kids are older, and I used to run preschool centers, and one of them was actually housed within a homeless shelter. So my background is child development and child psychology and like early childhood development. And I had what looked like on paper, a dream job, because I got to take my kids to work with me. And then all of a sudden, my youngest at the time was 22 months and she started vomiting sporadically and we couldn't figure it out. So I assumed it was preschool germs, daycare germs, and I quit on the spot. But we live in Silicon Valley. And my husband's like, yeah, so no, let's find a way to make some money. So I turned to the internets. And this was way back in 2007-ish. And I was trying to find a legitimate way to make money online while staying home with my kids. I took on a few freelance writing jobs, and then I learned about SEO, which is search engine optimization. And me a few too many glasses of wine at my husband's Christmas party. Well, not at the Christmas party, because we don't want to be like Elaine from Seinfeld. But when we got home, I'm like, I know what to do. I am going to start a recipe site because they have super tight SEO, but I don't cook. So I made a New Year's resolution to use my Crock-Pot slow cooker every day for a year and write about it online. And it took off. It was legit one of the first crockpot sites on the internet. It went really well. By the end of that year, I had been on Rachel Ray. I had been on a Good Morning America. I was offered book deals. My for free Blogger Blogspot site was making $1,000 a day in banner ads. And I had this like whole job. Like, okay. This is awesome. I will take this. Also, still really, 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 really like my crock pot. And for a young mom with little kids in the house. Also, I should rewind and let you know that my baby girl who is getting sick is fine. We realized that she had celiac, which is a gluten intolerance, which is so like widely known and prevalent now, but it wasn't then. It was kind of like people didn't even understand what it was. So the reason that Crockpot site, which is a year of slowcooking.com, really took off is not only was it one of the first Crockpot sites, everything was already gluten-free. So nobody had to do any thinking. I just said, okay, so I used this kind of pasta and I did this. So it was very happy for Google. And so it just really took off. It was great. And then 2016 happened and the Instant Pot hit the market,
Oh, yeah.
and my book publishers and agent really wanted me to translate all of my recipes to the Instant Pot. And so I bought one and I goofed around with it. And I just didn't like it. I don't like it. I get it. Like the tech part of cooking a frozen chicken in 45 minutes, super cool. But for me, I'm better early in the morning, highly caffeinated and coherent. I don't like decision fatigue. I wanted to plop it in, push a button, and never think about it again. And especially when my kids were little, it was not safe to be chopping onions and doing all this stuff in those kind of like 4 to 6 p.m. witching hours. So that's why to me, the crock pot was such a saving grace. And so I told the publishers and my literary agent, I just don't want to do this. I don't think it's actually the right thing for me, or the right thing maybe even for society. And so I got fired. Fired. And so then I sort of had this like voice of God being like, hey, Steph, just because you can do something fast, it doesn't mean you should. And so I started thinking about how that could like benefit me and benefit other moms and women. And I sort of morphed into all things slow living. And so that's how you found me. You found me on a different podcast talking about slow living. And then I started listening to yours. I'm like, so we speak the same language, Emily McDermott. So thank you for having me.
Well, you don't even know that I have an Instapot in my house. I never was supposed to say Instapot or Instant Pot, but whatever. You can tell
So if
how
you're
much I use
writing
it.
for Google, you use both.
Oh, use both. Okay, good to know. Well, my sister-in-law gifted it to us, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can totally use this. Yeah, it's fine. And I've never used it. And my husband does use it, though. I can justify its existence because he makes his hard-boiled eggs in it. But the whole thing, it scares me. It just scares me with like the steam and the releasing and the noise. I'm like you. I
And
like
if
in the
you have
morning,
babies
plop
in the
it in.
house, it's not safe to have the kids in the kitchen while you're releasing the steam.
But I love the parallel with just kind of like the slow and just like, okay, sometimes it's just like you said, just because we can do something fast doesn't mean that we necessarily should. So I love that. And now you have a podcast about slow living. And I think that, and when we talk about decluttering a lot and kind of moving from the physical stuff to the calendar and the emotional that sometimes will come later for people, I think that a lot of the overwhelmed moms, they're like, slow living. Like, how can I slow how can I slow down? Like, I am going a million miles a minute and I don't even know what that looks like. Maybe we can talk about that in a minute, but I always ask my guests if you can think about a time in your motherhood, any time, it could be yesterday or it could be, 20 years ago, when you felt overwhelmed and just sort of like maybe it was by, the complexity of things, maybe it was stuff, maybe it was routines, but just when you got to that point, you're like, oh my gosh, something needs to change. And what did you do to change in that moment? If you could give me a story, and then we're going to dive into some of these things about how we can slow down a bit.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because I think some of the prevalent kind of brain chatter that moms have is there's too much to do and not enough time to do it. And so our busiest season of life is when all three of my kids were graduating from something at a different time. So we had a graduation from kindergarten, from fifth grade, and from eighth grade. And in our school district, you get a graduation ceremony for all of those things. And so there was just a lot of parties and a lot of like end of school year barbecues and a whole bunch of play dates, like before they graduate, let's do this. And it was really a lot. And I am a people pleaser and I want to do all of the things all the time for all the people and make them happy. And I was realizing that it just wasn't correct. And because I've got this background in child development psychology, I am able to kind of hit the pause button and recenter and be like, so what's right here for the children? And me wanting to please all of these parents actually wasn't right for my kids. Because if my kids are overscheduled or overburdened, they act out. They're not like sticking to their sleep schedule anymore or their feeding schedule, which sounds like animals in a zoo. I know that. But actual human like needs weren't being met because I was trying to please PTA moms. And it really doesn't make any sense. And so that was kind of a wake up time for me. I was already crock potting and doing all of that. So our food was on the table. But I think this unrealistic expectation that everything needs to look a certain way, that we're all going to eat dinner at 6 o'clock at night and say grace. And then we're going to clean up the kitchen. And then we're going to put on music and have this like lovely bedtime routine is not real life. And trying to have these kind of unrealistic expectations create this kind of noise and nonsense in our brains where we feel behind, or we feel like we're not good enough or unworthy, or that we're failing in some way. And so I teach 5 steps to slow living, and the first is right up your alley. And step one is to declutter all that's not working for you. And for a lot of times, the first thing that I suggest decluttering is media. Turn off social media. Turn off traditional media and go within and really think about what is it that you want? What is it that's right for you, your kids, your family, your life? I like to use the acronym for SLOW, which is simply look only within. And when you slow down and ask yourself these kind of like open-ended questions, you'll get an answer. So depending on your beliefs, maybe it's the answer from God. Maybe it's the universe, or if you're super sciencey, it's your subconscious. But if you ask, like, what's the next best thing for me to do? You will know the answer. And it's usually not more. It's usually not, let's add more.
I've never had a mom that's like, I would really like to make my life more complicated. I
Yeah,
think what my life needs.
let's make me feel even worse than I do right
Yeah,
now.
I just need a little sprinkle of complexity in there. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I think that, you had a podcast episode and this blog post about and land. And the funny thing is that when you think about and, some people think, oh, well, that means that I'm adding more because I'm doing this and this and this and this. But it isn't that at all. It's actually the difference between being able to hold two things that you think are opposite, but being able to hold them together. So what I like to say is you can let go of something and make space for something better. Because a lot of times we think, oh, well, I can't possibly let go of the, if I'm not volunteering in my kid's school every week, then I'm not a good mom. Or if I can't keep dishes out of my sink, then I'm a horrible housekeeper. And we tell ourselves these stories because, like you said, of the unrealistic expectations of what we're seeing all around us or what we think things should look like. And it's like, well, I can't possibly be a great mom and never go into my kid's school. Like there's so much pressure, you know, just for that example, like you said, like the PTA.
Okay. So I can alleviate you instantaneously right now because my day job is I'm Mrs. O'Day, and Mrs. O'Day is a school site secretary to an elementary school. And I can tell you that Mrs. O'Day has no judgment about whether or not moms volunteer in the classroom. What she would like is call in absences, get your kids to school on time, pick them up at 3 o'clock, like for reals. Yes, you should show up for parent teacher conferences. Mm-hmm. Yes, come to open house and back to school night. But nobody is tallying whether or not you're going to a PTA meeting or whether or not you bring in the homemade cupcakes versus the store-bought mm-hmm. cupcakes for the holiday event. No one is paying attention to that. And really, I am no saint, and I absolutely needed to learn this the hard way for myself. But I remember sitting in the school library when my kids were little at 7 p.m. at a PTA meeting and getting texts from my husband asking about what do I do next in the bedtime routine. And I'm thinking, here I am trying to do what's quote unquote right for the children, where my own children wanted me and needed me.
Yeah.
And you can look at it like, well, gosh, Steph, Adam should know the bedtime routine. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. First of all, he's an amazing man and can do everything correctly and wonderfully. This is not throwing him under the bus. And if I wanted to be at the PTA meeting, that'd be a different thing. But it wasn't something I wanted to do. I could care less about the budget concerns and this or that, and whether or not we buy Chromebooks or this. So for me at that time, my heart was I wanted to be with my babies, but my mind was a good mom goes to PTA meetings, and you can be a good mom and never, ever, ever go to PTA meetings. Really, what they want is the donation, write the check.
Our PTA president pretty much said that. she was like, you want to come? That's fine. You want to volunteer? That's fine. Honestly, what can help us the most is just the money to go towards these things. And I guess my question is, why do you think, especially now, I just think all the time about my grandmother's generation. Okay. Mm. She died at 102. Like she had a long, full, wonderful life.
Way to go, grandma.
I know. So I'm like, I hope I have those genes. But I think about how she had an understanding of what a good mom was. She grew up on a farm, right? Mm. Lived on a farm. It was her church. It was her neighbors. It was not social media and PTA and all of this stuff like that are telling us what the good mom is. Meanwhile, we're all feeling the shame in ourselves, but looking within, like you said, but what that means is we're not even noticing about the judgment that we perceive from other people. Why do you think that there's so much of this either or mentality that our heart's saying one thing, the head's saying the other? Because I feel like moms struggle, especially I struggle with this, but moms struggle with this like so much, probably more than generations, even in the past.
Yeah. I think it's because we're being sold to and marketed to 24/7. And they've created this little crack device that we want and hold in our hands and put in our back pockets and drop in toilets way too often. And then we feel as if a child died. So it's most definitely a marketing thing. So in the olden days, you would hear about what other people are doing at a community event or by reading the newspaper. Now we know what's happening all of the time in all of these other people's lives that because they've airbrushed them and filtered them, it looks like they're living this miraculous, amazing dream life. And here you are with spit up on your shoulder and greasy hair, and your kid doesn't sleep at night, and it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong. But in real life, everyone goes through phases of spit up on their shoulder and sleepless nights and feeling behind at work and feeling like the laundry never ends. That is real. But in order to sell you something, you have to have this kind of shiny illusion, gauzy magic that just give me $79 every month for the rest of your life and maybe a pint of blood, and I can alleviate you from this feeling of inadequacy. But when you sit and are okay with feeling a little inadequate, a feeling a little less than, a feeling, okay, well, maybe I can't take a trip to Bermuda this year, but I'm okay with that. And just really being okay with being okay and not spectacular, it'll shift so much. It's really interesting. I got into kind of a kind of fun, slightly heated discussion about participation trophies in soccer. And we were in the bleachers and someone's muttering about, oh, great, participation trophies. And the kids at the time were six. And I'm like, so what is it we want here? We want like cutthroat, knock them down soccer players at six? No, I want them running around, getting some fresh air, laughing, having fun, eating their oranges. And if at the end of the season, my $30 enrollment or whatever it is gets them a little plastic trophy, great. Like, I am okay with this. Like we're trying to raise future adults who hopefully are kind and thoughtful and empathetic, not like go, 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 have to be the best, knock everyone down in the process. Like, that's not the type of future adult I'm trying to raise here.
Yes, same. I'm a new sports mom. We just had the boys start sports for the first time ever. So we got through a soccer season. I totally went to went to Dick's and picked up like baseball cleats because I didn't know. So it's like I'm getting used to it. But then also there was an email out like, please make sure you're not, you know, saying things to the ref that are inappropriate. My kids are 7 and 5 because we don't have many refs. So, you know, please make sure saying anything inappropriate. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to actually do this now. But
it's the idea of not being so frantic in the here and the now of thinking you're missing out, but really trying as best you can to just pause a little bit and soak it in. And what are we trying to do here? And what type of future adult are we trying to raise? And the best you can, if you can tune out the noise and the nonsense of kind of mm-hmm. hustle culture of if you're not like burning it at both ends, you're failing. 'Cause that's not what we're trying to teach our kids.
Yeah, because it's also modeling to them what we want to be a healthy life and healthy balance to be. And I guess my one question as far as like the guilt associated with, well, I can't possibly embrace this and mentality. Like, Stephanie, how can you tell me that my house is messy and I'm still a good housekeeper? Like, do you, when you personally struggle with that either or thinking that it's kind of coming up in you, how do you release that guilt and be like, no, it's okay? Like, how do you give yourself that grace? Is it just practice and repetition, or is there anything mindset wise that you go to?
Yes, and both. So it's interesting. I function better in a clean and tidy space. So I have a little bit of ADHD. I don't take medicine for it because I have systems in place and I teach these systems with the women that I work with. We have a set of daily chores that we do every day, rain or shine. And we sort of just kind of learn and habit stack them so it becomes muscle memory. So I have a home where if somebody brings something in and we don't immediately have a place for it, I do feel that anxiety bubble up. So my kids know where their jacket goes and where their shoes go and where their backpacks go. And it's better to wash the dish than put it in the sink because things are kind of magnetically attracted to it. Does that mean there's never a random coffee cup in the sink or a knife? No, it just is what it is. But that's not something that's building up on a daily basis because there's a system in place. Again, I used to run preschool centers, and preschool centers are very systemized because you can go dut, 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 and the kids go dut, dut, and then we do a 10-minute tidy, and the whole classroom is cleaned up. So I actually sort of envision houses and homes like a preschool or a kindergarten classroom that even at a very, very young age, the kids know where the scissors go. The kids know where the things go. The husbands, the spouses know where the things go. And so I do have thoughtfully and purposefully created that. If you're in a situation where you think that you're drowning in clutter, good news, you're listening to Emily McDermott's podcast and she will help you declutter. So absolutely, if you feel like there's too much in your space right now, pause and work on that and fix that because you deserve to walk in at the end of the day and feel like, oh, I'm home now. And I can relax and the burden and the weight of the world can be taken off my shoulders. If you feel like when you're in the house that the walls are closing in on you, that's definitely a warning sign that you need to do something about because it's not healthy for you and it's not healthy for your kids. So, can I be in a messy space and be a good mom? Yes. Is it something that I personally want to work on? Yes. And that's because I am raising future adults. And I now have one in grad school and one in college. And both of them have lived in shared spaces and have complained to me that their roommates are messy and it's distracting and it's disgusting and they're grossed out.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I think that because I feel like I'm getting out of the one season and going into the next, with the elementary age, but I keep looking forward to, again, like you said, like what am I modeling? Like these kids are going to be living as roommates someday, like they're going to have their own family someday, and just being able to do that. But one of the other things you said that really struck me was about how we want to release our burdens. Like when we get home, like it's supposed to be, our haven that we're releasing the burden. But I find sometimes for me, and something I need to work on, is that I can have the burden of I'm not taking care of my home exactly how I want. So I almost sometimes put more burdens on myself at home than I do like externally in the world. And so I think it really is that continued reminder of grace. Like I know my husband and my kids are in a safe and mostly clean environment.
Yeah. Well,
Certainly
and your
tidy.
home doesn't need to look like Pottery Barn. Like that's not real. So I say that we can have people over within 30 minutes. And my idea and with the women that I work with is if you run into someone at the grocery store and want to have them over for coffee, you can. And they can use your bathroom and they're not disgusted by it and you're not embarrassed. Does that mean but I know right now because I just walked Sheldon, the dog, there's a dog harness in the front entry, my rain boots because it's raining right now, and a jacket and a scarf on the couch. I know probably last night's blanket from when I fell asleep watching Seinfeld is still out, and that's okay. But I will make you a cup of coffee and you can use my toilet. It's totally fine. And
I love
because
that.
it's not HGTV. I really think the more HGTV you watch, the less you like your house. I don't think it's good for you.
I agree. And I think you're right. Like you talked about earlier, the slow, like looking within and just, the answer is there as to what actually matters and just reminding, and I speak about how you know, it's not a Christian podcast, but I'm a Christian, but I know who I am and whose I am. So then it's kind of like, okay, I know that my identity is sort of solid and I can go back to that. Yes. Anytime I have the thought swirling, like, well, what about this? What about this?
Yeah.
Like, no.
And let's think about it. So let's say you run into someone in the grocery store and you bring them in their house and all they do is walk around judging you. That's not your friend.
Exactly.
That's not your friend. Yeah. Declutter that person.
Declutter. Yes. We'll like have another episode about that. Oh my gosh, Stephanie, this has been such a treat. You are just as, I know, amazing in air quotes, right? Amazing. As I knew you would be when I was listening to some of your conversations and podcast episodes. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Can you please let everyone know the best way to connect with you on the internets, as you say?
On the internets, yes. If you are a podcast listener, and you must be if you're listening to this right now, I have the Slow Living Podcast. The Crockpot website is ayearofslowcooking.com. And I also have a coaching program and I coach kind of overwhelmed and busy people. And that's at stephanieoday.com. Thank you for having me. I think you're great. I think this is really valuable and helpful. And I look forward to having you on my podcast very soon.
Yes, yes. We will be linking to all of those things in the show notes. So thank you again, Stephanie. I really had a great time chatting with you.
Absolutely. You take care.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact, but 30 seconds of your day make such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. An Apple Podcast, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.